period by the time the session is over. It may not be. And that, I think, is going to depend a great deal on those who are sitting here. There are three basic issues that impinge on this subject. And I want to analyze them rather than lecturing to you and some discussing it without any clear textual analysis. I first want to emphasize to you that. Take a look at some of the sources that I put together, and I hope you have these sheets in front of you, to really study the sugya together, and then to draw our own conclusions. I am still in the process of drawing conclusions about this question, and I assume that I will be for a very long time. Some of you may be in the process, and I think it's important that we share some of the problems that we have without necessarily feeling that we have to come to a specific conclusion. I just want to tell you a little bit about my background so that you'll have some sense of why this particular question is such a problematic one for me personally. It's really a personal issue, and it's not an academic issue. You know, my father, Rabbi Shachter, is sitting here. I was brought up in a quote-unquote Yeshiva University modern Orthodox home, and I'm not going to define that term for a while. And when I went for high school, I went to Yeshiva in Philadelphia. Some of you may know, be familiar with Yeshiva in Philadelphia. I was there for 5 years. And after Philadelphia, I went to learn in the Meir in Yerushalayim for a year and a half. And when I came back to New York, I went to Yeshiva Torah V'Das. And I had smicha from Yeshiva Torah V'Das. And then after smicha, and I went to Brooklyn College, I went on and I'm, Mir Tashem, going to finish a doctorate at Harvard. So that this whole issue about the role of Gedolim and the place that Gedolim play in my own personal life, in my own personal decisions, is something that to me I have dealt with, and I have assumed many different things as I've gone from place to place, and one which I have carried with me really ever since I was a child, and something which still, as I said earlier, is not resolved in my own mind. But that is an introduction. Let's take a look at the first text on the first page. The three basic issues that I want to deal with, they are three basic statements, three basic phrases, each of which will require independent analysis, and all of which are germane to this question. One is the phrase Das Torah. The second is the phrase Emunas Chachamim. The third is the mitzvah Losa saying the Torah, Losasur Mikol Asher Yolucha. Losasur Mikol, that you cannot turn away from everything which as I don't know that. You cannot turn away from everything which Chazal tell you, and we have to see the implications and the extension of that particular halakha. And what is Das Torah? Here I think we should begin to define the terms in order to identify exactly what it is that we're discussing. If you look at the end of the seventh sheet, the very end, you have a bibliography for further reading. And there's a very good article there by Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, who I understand spoke to this very group not too long ago, printed, I think, in the very first issue of the Jewish Observer, which is the literary organ of the Agudas Yisrael movement in America, entitled The Role of the Gedolim. It's 1963, it should be corrected, it is not 1983. It appeared 20 years ago, 1963. Now what he says basically is that Das Torah means that a Gadol B'Yisrael, and I guess that will be a topic for discussion, a Gadol B'Yisrael has the ability to be able to address correctly any single subject that he so chooses to do. Any issue, whether it's a halachic issue, namely whether something is kasher or treif, a chayev or poter, or whether it's a non-halachic issue, and we will debate even that whole question whether there is such a thing as a non-halachic issue. Chazal, today, contemporary Gedolim have a power because they have the benefit of seeing things through having studied Torah so intensively and so properly and so involved in the study of Torah, so they see things through Torah eyes, differently than we see them, differently than non-Gedolim see them, and therefore they could make a decision, for example, whether or not somebody should demonstrate on behalf of Soviet Jewry. This is an issue which the Gedolim have addressed, and they feel, and people who follow them, sense that they have a right to do so, because they can see everything, even political issues, economic issues, social issues, sociological issues, everything from the perspective of the Torah view on this issue, because they've imbibed all this Torah for so many years. This is presented in the Chafetz Chaim al HaTorah, which is edited by Rav Shmuel Greinemann. The Greinemann family is very closely aligned with the family of the Chazon Ish. And he says as follows, who shall you omer that you're coming from Kana la Torah? Who should that of that Torah? Yachal Liktor kol ba'ayos ha'olam b'chlalu b'prat. The person has Das Torah and has this capacity to see things through having studied Torah as a result of being imbibed constantly in the study of Torah. So in the Mela they have an ability to see things constantly and to see things properly and to penetrate to the truth of every single matter on any issue. Yachal Liftar Kol Ba Yasa Olam Bichlalu B'Prat. So it's a very broad statement, a very general statement, and it's found in the Chafetz Chaim. Elashet Nai Isnasha Das Torah Tihiyat Tzulula. It should be nothing sidetracking this gadol. It should be a pure perception of what's going on. Even read the newspaper and you're influenced by something which a commentator in the newspaper said or somebody on television said, and it's not purely viewing this particular matter through the eyes solely of Das Torah, then Harei Das Torah Achurahi Lu'revis and Soles Ben B'yachol Tola Redis V'Solfayim. I caught you the Chafetz Chaim because this, to the best of my knowledge, is the clearest statement made by someone who is always referred to in this connection by a gadol who is constantly referred to as having had Das Torah to define what Das Torah is. Now the first question I want to pose to you, having looked at the term and having seen the way the Chafetz Chaim uses the term, do we have a makor for this in Jewish tradition? Where is this term coming from? Is Das Torah understood this way prior to, let's say, the first part of this century, of the 20th century? And what it requires to do is to go through all the makoros and to look and see where the term Das Torah is used and see if it's used in this way. So this is, before we get to the conceptual issue, I want to first identify what Da'as Torah is, the phrase Da'as Torah, from the perspective of centuries of Jewish tradition. Da'as Torah appears once in the Gemara. The Gemara in Chulin, Da'as Kadi Amid Beis, I don't want to go through the whole sugya, it's the beginning of Gid HaNoshet. It's a question as to which thigh of the animal is within the prohibition of Gid HaNoshet, the right one or the left one. I see you shaking your hands, you know your Chulin well. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah said, "V'yerach shal yamin, u'v'yerach shal smol." Masnisim lo k'Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, "En ano egelo ba'achas." Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Mishnah and says that the Gid HaNoshet is shayach only to one of the thighs. V'hadas machras es shal yamin, and the reason decides the das is machriya that it should be the right one. So the Rabbi Yehuda is in opposition to the Mishnah. Ibay lehu nipshat shito le the Rabbi Yehuda. Is it obvious to Rabbi Yehuda that this is the case? Umay da'as da'as Torah. And therefore when he says va'das machras, he means that this is da'as Torah. Odilma spike mesachdome. That Rabbi Yehuda himself was misupik as to which one it should be. Umay da'as da'as note. Da'as note means that it's probably the right one. Not that he was sure it was the right one, and da'as machras is da'as Torah, but it was probably the right one. Now if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi is not too helpful. Because of the Das Torah, I underlined it for you, to the Aleph of the Kamei. And if you remember the sugya later on Daf Tzadi Aleph Amid Aleph, the Gemara ends up with a pasuk, because it says there's a Hey Hayidiyah in front of the word Ha, and since there's a Hey Hayidiyah, the thigh, what's the thigh, is the right thigh. So Das Torah is using a pasuk to clearly determine what the halacha is, as opposed to Das Note. Das Note means it's a result of the Safek. Since you're misupik, so then your logic assumes that it's one of the two options. Not that you're convinced on the basis of what the pasuk says that it's one of the two options. So we find, if on the basis of this Gemara and Chulin, that Das Torah means knowing something for sure based on a pasuk in the Torah, and not as opposed to something which is deduced by one's logic. It's not that my logic tells me. It's not that I assume logically my das is noteh, that the das is machras to this position, but it's something that I know without any question because it's found in the Torah. Something that is textually based and not adduced by logic. That is what Das Torah means. That is not how Das Torah has been understood in contemporary times. Now if you go through all the Rishonim, and by no means what I have here is an exhaustive presentation of wherever the term Das Torah appears in medieval literature, I just give you a few examples. The Rambam in the Mara Nevuchim, Part 2, Chapter 32, talks about various attitudes to prophecy. And these are called first Da'at Hamon HaPsa'im, the second is Da'at HaPhilosophim, and the third Va'da'at HaShlishi V'hu Da'at Torah Seimer. Here, Da'at Torah, in the sense that the way the Rambam uses it in the Mar Nevuchim, is this is the correct point of view. This is our Torah perspective. This is the Torah point of view, as opposed to the Narishkeit point of view, which is the first option, and as opposed to the philosophical point of view. This is the Torah view, the Jewish view, the correct view. Again, it's not Da'as Torah in the sense that we understand it to mean today, that there is a person, a physical human being, who has a kayach to determine policy with regard to any single matter that he so chooses to address. Shuvas of the Rashbam, Yuchasas the Ramban, Reish Mem Aleph, on the left-hand side. Somebody asked the Rashba Shaila about being Matir Acherem HaKohol, and you learn through the Shuvah on your own, we don't have to go through it. At the end, towards the end, in the middle, the end of the passage here, V'lotku Tamzeh Be'ikar Amiti, V'shezehu Da'at HaTorah K'da'at HaZeh, HaShomer Benidah, and so on. Here again, the way the Rashba uses Da'at Torah, again, Da'at Torah, namely the correct position. This is the correct point of view. I even found the Hakdama to Shmos of the Netziv in his Hamek Dava. And now we're getting a lot closer to home. We're talking now 19th century. The Netziv in his Hamek Dava, at the end of the Hakdama to Shmos, also uses the term Da'as Torah. And here, we don't have time to go through the whole Mahalach, you can look at it at your leisure. But again, it's not used in these terms. It's used only in the sense, or not only, but it's used in the sense that a person has a full understanding of what Torah is. That this is, a person recognizes the amitus shel Torah, a person recognizes the centrality and the totality of Torah. This is what Da'as Torah is. If you have Da'as Torah, that means you recognize the importance and the critical centrality of what Torah is in your life. Al kapanim, to the best of my knowledge, I have not found any sources prior to the 20th century that defined the term, and I'm talking now in terms of the term Da'as Torah, the way it has been defined since the days of the Chafetz Chaim, a little bit before the Chafetz Chaim, certainly since the Chafetz Chaim. If you turn over to the top of the next page, one of the greatest Talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim was Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Right, we know the Kavitz Biurim, the Kavitz Arif, the Kavitz Shurim, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was Rosh Shiva Baranovich. Yeah.
Isn't it semantics, the fact that the word Da'as Torah wasn't used to...
There might have been some other term, and I'm going to try to identify what all those possible terms, what they may have been, okay? So far, this is purely a, you want to call it semantics, I want to call it a phraseology, okay? If you call Da'as Torah something, and you hold up Da'as Torah as being whatever you hold it up as being, then you have to identify whether that phrase means what they say it means. Okay, whether there are previous sources in Jewish tradition to determine that they have something to base it on when they use that phrase Da'as Torah. Now that's a very important point, because if you say that this is Da'as Torah, where is Da'as Torah coming from? And you have to look at all the Makoros that discuss Da'as Torah and see whether in fact it is used in a similar way. We're going to come to the concept very shortly, but so far it's purely a terminological discussion. The Talmud, the greatest Talmud, or one of the greatest Talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim, was Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who died al-Kiddush Hashem. His son, who was in the yeshiva, I think that was Eretz Yisrael, used to be in Los Angeles, wrote a hakdama to one of his farim, and he tells how he told his old yeshiva that they shouldn't have machshavos of pigul, and they should become tamim, as if it was a carbon thought. It's a very powerful, moving story about how he went al-Kiddush Hashem during the Second World War. But he was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, and he wrote two major books that really deal with this whole issue of Da'as Torah, not dealing with it as a concept, but operating with it. Now, given Da'as Torah, this is the Da'as Torah view on a number of issues. One of them was written in Yiddish, which you have on the right-hand corner, in Tarek Tzadivah. The other one, Amrani Matzal HaMelech, was written in Hebrew. I have no date for this, but you look at the bottom, Ma'ora Oz Manenu Lefi Da'as Torah. And in this one, as in the other one as well, he talks about the contemporary situation, about secularists, about communists, about Zionists, and he shows that they're all wrong, and that they all have no basis whatsoever in Jewish tradition, and the Torah, the Da'as Torah view is to constantly sit and to study Torah, and to reject any of these other national, or even not-so-nationalistic movements. So what he's doing is, he doesn't tell you what Da'as Torah is, He assumes Das Torah, he's a good Talmud of his Rebbe, and he constantly refers to the Chafetz Chaim throughout both of these two Sfarim, and he operates with this whole terminology of Das Torah and gives his perspective on the contemporary situation. Another great Gadol who addressed this issue, and we're going to move now through a study of the Michtav Me'eliyahu from the question of Da'as Torah to Emunas Chachamim, because Emunas Chachamim is an old phrase in our sources. Emunas Chachamim is where? Where is Emunas Chachamim? Where do we talk about Emunas Chachamim? It's a Mishnah in Avos. The sixth parak in Avos says, the Mishnah says that 48 issues with which Torah is nicknamed, and one of them is Emunas Chachamim. And here again, I'm going to do an analysis of what Emunas Chachamim means today and what Emunas Chachamim meant up until today. The one who bridges this line between Das Torah and Emunas Chachamim is Michtav Me'eliyahu. Rav Dessler was you've learned Michtav Me'eliyahu. Rav Dessler was a mashgiach in Gateshead, in England. And he also was very much influenced by this whole derech, by the derech of the Chafetz Chaim and Rabbi Chanan Wasserman and Rabbi Chaim Eiser. The whole school of European Gedolim had a great influence on Rav Dessler's and Michtav Me'eliyahu. And this is taken from the Chalak Aleph. It comes in three Chalak, and I really recommend the work for you. It's a very good sefer, and it's a very thoughtful sefer. It's a very thoughtful sefer. It's not simple musr, but it's challenging musr. You have to really think through the kinds of things that he's talking about. And here he has a section. This is on page 59 of the first Chalak, where he says that basically it's a long haul until we finally see the light. Now we go through life and we're not really sure that we're doing this right, and we're always struggling, and we're not convinced ourselves, because who are we? What do we know? We're bombarded by so many external influences, and we don't really have a total derech ha'emes that we're so convinced about. And even if we're in the yeshiva, so we don't know whether we should be, we shouldn't be, should we be learning, should we be going to college, should we be doing both, how much should we be doing both, should we stay an extra year in yeshiva, should we go get a job? Like, we don't really have a clear-cut way of how we should behave as Jews. And it's a long haul, and it takes time till we work it out and we struggle with it. And it's not something that's so precious. So he says, if that's the case, then what do we do until we finally see the light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, we have to go through life after all. Halavai, we should all be makir the emes right away. Lufa not makir the emes, so we need help. So what do we do? For the time being, until we see the light, how do we behave, and what guidelines do we use to guide our own lives? So his answer is that we should follow Chazal. And in the last paragraph, when the page is still straight, what does that mean? That means is I have a fakrumta perspective, because I'm a nothing. I mean, what do I know? I'm struggling. I'm a kid. I haven't worked these things out. I don't have the klarkeit that the gedolim have. So what I have to do is to hitch my head behind their eyes, and they do have such a klarkeit. They do see everything clearly. So for the time being, until I could see straight myself, then I have to see things the way they see things. Yidivreihem nuchal lekabel hayishara b'hashkaf hasolam u'b'hanar b'maasis u'l'pichach. I skipped a line and a half. Gedolei dorosenu. Asher esek chayeyev lahamshech kitalmidim ne'emonim bedargeim achshavtam shel chazal zolchen liyashra zu b'mido atzuma ad shechavas da'atan afilu bidvarim she'en lahem mekar mefurash v'gam stam etzos b'miloi da'alma. It's not that the shachin yiradeya that you can point to that they know the halacha. There's no sifin shulchan aruch that reflects this point of view that they're trying to put across, and it may not even be a halachic issue. But it's Stam Eitzos B'nili Da'alma, Stam Eitzos B'nili Da'alma, their point of view, Chavaz Da'atam, Rura Va'amitis Kasher Yishal Ish B'dvar Elohim, K'masharon B'enenu, Atodol Akeel, Gam B'dor Hazer. So that contemporary Gedolim, says Rav Dessler,
have a kayach to see things in all areas and to see them correctly, and therefore I, who don't have, unfortunately, that clarkite of vision, have to depend on them in order to help me. For that time, whether it's 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, until I, Baruch Hashem, am Zeicha, to have that point of view. And then he concludes it here also, if you look on the side, that it's basically along the same lines, what do we know, the Matzaveinu Hadal, we don't see anything, we can't see things clearly, but if the Chazal, and not only Chazal in the classic sense of the term, but contemporary Gedolim, he says, Gam Bidor Hazeh, have a Hashkafa Bihira, which they transmit to us, namely to those who want to be bound by that. The strongest statement of Reb Dessler is on the next page. And here already, I would ask you to really try to objectively assess what he's saying. The question is a very painful one. And the question that I think is better than the answer, I think the answer he gives is, I don't know, put it mildly, I would say it's problematic. The question is, we know what happened in the Second World War. So why did all the Gedolim not tell all the Jews living in Eastern Europe to pick themselves up and to go live in Israel? As a matter of fact, on the contrary, we happen to know that when Gedolim were asked whether I, Hama Balabas, living in Krakow in the 1930s, whether I should go to Palestine, invariably the answer was no. New, comes the Second World War, comes post-Second World War. This is a massive question. I thought I was supposed to have them on a Chachamim. I thought they had Das Torah. What do you mean they're telling me? What do you mean they told me to stay in Europe? Look what happened to me. Look what happened to my family. They made a mistake. They must have made a mistake. What happened to their Das Torah? What happened to their Hashkafa Behira? I mean, if they would have known what was going to happen, and one assumes that they have the Torah, their eyes, and that they can see, and that they have a Hasaga that we don't have, we mortals, we simple Jews don't have, so this is a terrible thing. This is a terrible threat and challenge to somebody's Emunas Chachamim. If you define Emunas Chachamim, that you have Emunah, that what the Chachamim, what the contemporary Gedolim tell you, is absolutely correct to the extent that you have an obligation to follow it down the line in your own personal life, so I followed them right into the gas chamber. And what did I have from it? And they made a mistake. Somebody writes Rav Dessler this letter. Rebbe Levin, it's after the war, I don't understand what happened. I thought Emunas Chachamim means to believe in the Gedolim, they misled us. In response to this letter, which Rav Dessler does not quote, he writes a three-page essay to explain Emunas Chachamim in general, and specifically to address the Holocaust. Now the latter, as interesting as it is, I don't want to get into. He has an explanation of the Holocaust that makes me uncomfortable. And if it wasn't him, I would call it stronger words, and I leave it to you to read on your own. But let's take a look, at least in the first part, where he addresses the concept of what Emunas Chachamim is. Just quickly, he repeats the question. He talks Divrei Kavodo and Iroa Shesover Kikal. I see from the way you're talking. Kikal Gedolei Yisrael Asher Maaseihem Hayu L'Shem Shamayim Ugaonei Hasechel V'Adiri Atzikus Gam Yachad. Not only Sechel but Tzikus Asher B'Loi Safek B'Chol Mishpateim U'Piskei Dineim Hayu Hashem Nito V'Adas Keil. And then he gives a list: B'Chafetz Chaim, B'Chaim Leizer, B'Chaim Brisker, Baruch Ber, and so on and so on, and even the last generation before B'Shol Salanter. Kulam Yitu Tos Gemura Chas V'Shal. That is what you seem to be arguing. And the note at the bottom here, the editor's note, explains that this question arose out of response to the Holocaust. After all, l'chayra, these people yitou tos gemura. Kaidim Kol, he says. First, he says, I want you to know. Yezim Adayim, in the second paragraph. Halalu zachisi l'dat panim. I knew them personally, and I sat at the Jewish communal meetings with these people, Chafetz Chaim, Chaim Brisker, Chaim Meiser, and we can't even be massive how great they were, and we can't even be aimed on how sharp they were and how much they cared and how much everything they did with Shem Shamayim. And if you only were there, you had to be there to see the extent to which they really were concerned about Klal Yisrael. Ad kedei kach, that whoever was there, hayah barur lo, It's not underlined. It's about 8 lines from the bottom. Hayabaru Moshe Ra'a Shechina Sheire B'masi Yadeya V'chiruach HaKodesh Sharsa B'chavu Rasam. That's Dami Devaltahein sitting around at a meeting of the American Jewish Congress and deciding whether Federation should give money, not give money. This is Ruach HaKodesh. This is Shechina Shruya B'neihem. And these are not light terms. I'm going to have to come back to them. That Rav Chaim Munzer and the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Chaim Brisker had Ruach HaKodesh. And that's heavy stuff if they had Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is something that we recognize as being critical. I mean, it's not even there what Ruach HaKodesh is. And they had it, says Rav Dessler. They had Ruach HaKodesh. And you had to be there to sense it and to see it and to imbibe it and to feel it. You had to be there. Kvar Amru Chazal at the bottom of the page. Kvar Amru Lanu Chazal L'shmoa L'divrei Chachonim. Afilu Omrim Lanu Al-Smol Shehi Yemin. Even if they tell you that the left is the right, we're going to come back to this. And not to say that they certainly made a mistake. Neither garnished the Nebuchadnezzar, the nobody, there's a worm. Because I'm convinced that they're making a mistake. My chush, my sense, my perception is meaningless. It has no value whatsoever. Conclusion, Zuhi Da'at HaTorah, the Yeder Emunas Chacham. So what is he doing? What does Rav Dessler do? First, he sets up the fact that you can't say that because it appears to you that they made a mistake, that Lamaisa they made a mistake. Because you have to believe that these people upon whom rested Ruach HaKodesh did everything L'Shem Shamayim, and that they had the Shechina Rashruya B'neihem, and whatever they do and whatever decisions they come to are automatically the correct ones. To you it seems black and white, clear like the day, that it's not a correct one. Because European Jewry went into the ovens, doesn't matter. You may think it's not correct. To you it doesn't look like it was the right decision. But that's irrelevant. Because even if they tell you that your right is your left, you still have to listen to them. It's a very strong term. You can't say that they're making a mistake because it seems to me. It's not just like it seems to me that, you know, it's debatable. If mamish seems to me without a suffix that they made a mistake, doesn't matter. Even if they say that your right is your left, you have to listen to them because they have Da'as Torah and this is Emunas Chacham. Then he goes into specifically addressing himself to the Holocaust. And then he concludes the last paragraph, Kisaron, Hakaras, Hahis Batlos, Ve'umat Rabosenu. The lack of recognizing the importance of being mevatel ourselves in company or when coming to matters that are relevant to Rabbosenu, zehu shayrish kol chatos uphilas kol churban rachmana litzlat. The chal hazachios lo yishvu leumat shoresh hakol shehi emunas chacham. The source of the churban, and you'll see it black on white, I'm not making it up, is the fact that European Jewry lacked emunas chacham. And the greatest thing that can be done to save European Jewry or to save ourselves is to have Emunas Chacham. This is the source of all evil. What does Rav Dessler do? He ties in Emunas Chachamim and Da'as Torah and the principle of Lo Sasur. Because this statement of Tilo Omrim Lano Asmol Shehi Yamin is a statement of Chazal on the pasuk of Lo Sasur. So what do we have so far? We have so far the term Da'as Torah is the term. It's somewhat of a problematic term. We have now introduced by Rav Dessler related to Da'as Torah the term of Emunas Chachamim. And I think by now we have a pretty good sense of how this term is to be understood, or how this term was understood. What I want to do now is to analyze Emunas Chachamim the same way we analyzed Da'as Torah as a term. And if you're holding up Emunas Chachamim as a paradigm to which we all have to aspire. And Rav Dessler goes so far as to say that Emunas Chachamim is where it's at, and that Churban comes when you lack Emunas Chachamim. And the greatest chus you can have is to have reinstated within you the full sense of Emunas Chachamim. So where is this coming from and what is it all about? So Mishnah Pirkei Avos, page 4. Gedol Torah Yotzim Min HaKuna Min HaMalchus Shamalchus Nikneis B'Shloshim Malos HaKuna Nikneis B'Eschim V'Arba Torah nicknames Barbaim Mishmona Dvarim Ve'eluhain. A long list of the 48 things with which Torah can be nicknamed. and one of them is Emunas Chacham. So what did I do? I went to the library, and I spent hours looking at Sfarim, Rishonim and Achronim, and the Farshim on Pirkei Avos, to determine how they understood the term Emunas Chachamim. This is not like Das Torah, which is sort of a favor from the Gemara and Chulin, and really, in that context, certainly doesn't have the meaning which it was later given. But this is one of the 48 things which is heard as Miknes, and I would have expected, and to some extent it's forthcoming, that Chveis, there would be Ruba de Ruba of Mefarshim, Rishonim, and Achronim, on Emunas Chachamim as one of the ways in which Torah can be attained, interpret Emunas Chachamim in this fashion. But it's really not the case. And I didn't look through every one of them. I must have looked through 50 Sfarim. And I've xeroxed a few of them here. The Abar Benel, you don't have to read it, that's not what he says. Just look the first line and a half. Abay Munas Chachamim Ratzalam Kishayishmu Ezo Hora'a Sheyazu Sha'ar Chachmei Hador She'ena Ru'uya Lefanav Lo Yikpok Lachlok Aleihem Kiyesh Lo Lachshov She'la Torech Sha'a Ola Ezo Siba Ru'uya Notu Misharas Hadid. He's not even addressing himself to me. He's addressing himself to somebody who is of the Chachmei Hador, who has a problem with what the other Chachmei Hador are doing. The Maharal in Derech Chayim. Ki kasher ma'amin de'divrei chachamim, az yesh lo de'vekus de'chachamim. He doesn't even underscore the believing in them to the nth degree, walking into the ovens. He doesn't even, that's not even what he's focusing on. But he's focusing on de'vekus, and you have to read it further, because only somebody who's medabe can tell me de'chachamim can himself hope to aspire to become a Talmud Chacham. It means you should be consistent, with our issue. Below yira anova, you shouldn't walk around saying I'm a humble guy. The tachte agayva and underneath you're a gaiva. Or the chasidus, you walk around, you're a big chasid, you're a big holy from me. The tachta of chisaron and underneath you're lacking a great deal. The yishma darke achachma v'shana. And what chachame means? Be a straight guy. Be a straight guy. The rest here are getting a little bit closer, yeah.
I don't know.
Good question. How does that fit into the words of Munas Chachamim? Munas Chachamim means you should believe that the way they behave is the right way to behave, and they are not duplicative, so you can't be duplicative. Dakasha, how it fits into the word. Now, moving along, you find others that are a little bit closer to our issue. And I really would invite you, if this is a matter that concerns you, to go and do your own analysis, Pirkei Avos analysis, and write a paper about how Mefarshim understood the term Emunas Chachamim. This is not a new term. This is a term that lends itself so much to this kind of an interpretation. Because if this is what Emunas Chachamim really meant in 1100 and 1200 and 1300 and 1400, what better place is there to express that point of view than right here and interpreting right here this Mishnah and others? Because it fits right in. These are the way that you're kind of Torah. You have to be kind of Torah by throwing yourself totally into the arms of the Gadol Hador who tells you what to do, whether it's directly related to Torah or whether it's not directly related to Torah. I mean, one would expect that it would be right here, it would be jumping out of every Mefarish's page. But it's not jumping out of every Mefarish's page. That's not how Ruba the Ruba of Mefarshim interpret the term. And again, I don't tell you that I've been exhaustive, but it's a representative sample, and I invite you to look on your own. Ones that are a little bit closer are, well, we'll take two of them, Rav Shmuel the Yezida and the Me'iri. Why don't we start with the Me'iri at the bottom? The Me'iri does lend itself much more so to the kinds of perception of Munas Chachamim that we have been describing. Emunas Chachamim Ratzalama Sheyamin Bechachmei HaTorah Bechol Ma Sheyomru Akilu Bidvarim Shein Sech Lomasa. What does this mean? It couldn't be made to mean, it's not unreasonable, to assume that the Me'iri is talking along our line. Sheyamin Bechachmei HaTorah Bechol Ma Sheyomru Akilu Bidvarim Shein Sech Lomasa. So here already, it's very much like the kind of interpretation of Emunas Chachamim which we've seen earlier. Rav Shmuel de Uzida was a Talmud of the Ari who lived in Tzfat in the 16th century. We don't know when he died. He was born in 1540. And he was a Talmud of the Ari. He was a great Mekubal. And he also started a yeshiva, which was not only a Kabbalah yeshiva, Mekubal yeshiva, but also was a Gemara yeshiva, a Lamdashi yeshiva. And he quoted very often by subsequent Mefarshim on Perkei Avos, Medrash Shmua. Top line. This is the fourth from the bottom. Hachav Gimel, Be'emunas Chachamim, Klomer. Sheyamin b'chol ma sheyomru razal. Ilu nitnu lemoshe nitsuna. The alzeh ne'emar, lo sasur min hadavar asher agidu b'chol yamin ismol. We have to believe everything that Chazal tell you, and we have to define what razal mean. Could be, these are chachmei ha-Talmud. It could be, this is the Bezna Gadol. As to believe it as if it was given to Moshe Mitzinai, as the prophet says, also. She'im lo yamin after davar echad, lo yisgalu lo razei Torah. Because even if you deny one aspect, lo yisgalu lo razei Torah, the secrets of Torah will not be revealed to you. So what is the Medrash Shmuel doing? And right below you have a Yitzchak Rav Shlomo Mitoledo, who also adduces the pasuk of Vaisasar in connection with this statement of Amunat Chachamim. Meaning, you have to listen to what they tell you. I mean, here already we're getting closer to the perception that we've been trying to interpret and to suggest. You have to believe what they're telling you because the pasuk says also. And you cannot deny even one part of what they tell you, and whatever they tell you is legitimate. Ki ilu nitnu, says Rav Shmuel Zida, ki ilu nitnu l'moshe nisim. We could spend more time discussing this. The only point I want to leave at this point before I move on is that, again, textually, phraseologically, this phrase in earlier Rishonim doesn't have the same intensity as it has undertaken later on, as it has by Rav Dessler. The way Rav Dessler interprets the Munas Chacham, the extent to which Rav Dessler goes, does not seem to me to be that much reflecting the way this term on the whole was understood basically through the generation. And again, it's a terminological statement I'm making now. I've made it with regard to Das Torah, and I want to make it now with regard to Emunah Sukkah. The last thing that I want to analyze textually, which we've seen already come up in a number of places, is the whole question of Losach, which is on page 5. Shoftim Yitzayin, Ki Yipalei Mincha Dover La Mishvat, and I want to read this pasuk because we're going to come back to this pasuk. Ki Yipalei Mincha Dover La Mishvat, Bein dam le dam, bein din le din, bein nega le nega, divrei rivos b'sharecha. If a question arises, and just to summarize these kinds of issues, din le din, dam le dam, din le din, nega le nega, if you had to say them in one word, I will say them, and I will try to defend this in a moment, is halachic questions that deal with dam, one dam to another dam, din le din, issues about dam, about din, about nega, divrei rivos b'sharecha. The kamta of alisa al makam hashiyifra hashem alokecha. It's also very important. What do you do if you have a suffix? You go the makam hashiyifra. What happens in the makam hashiyifra? So baruch hashem, there's a sanhedrin agadol. The bezna agadol sits in the lishkas agazis, which is on harabayis the makam hashiyifra, and you follow the asisa pasigud al piyadover sheyagidu lecha pasigud alaf al piyatora sheyarucha the alamishpat sheyarmu lecha tarse lo sasur min hadover sheyagidu lecha yaminu smo. No, so now we come. You don't know how to pass it. So you go to the rug in Sipori, and the rug sees two people walking with the talus, each one is holding hands, and he doesn't know what talus is. So he takes the talus and puts it in escrow, and he sends a letter, and he sends them off, but the guy's not done. So there's a topic in how to behave, whether it's a civil issue or a diplomatic issue, and he doesn't know what to try. Okay? The point is that if there is an issue, bring it to the Bez Magadol, and the Bez Magadol will decide. Rashi. Afilu Amr Lecha, Al Yamin Shu Smol, Val Smol Shu Yamin. The Koshkein, Shu Amr Lecha, Al Yamin Yamin, Val Smol Smol. Why does the Torah use the phrase, La Sostrum and Adavar Asher Agidu Lecha, Yaminu Smol, right and left? The Rashi here says a very extreme statement. Even if they tell you your right hand is your left hand, and your left hand is your right hand, you have to listen to them. Now this, you have to think about this for a second. You have to think about it for a second. First of all, you have to think, is it shayach? I mean, let's take for argument's sake, and let's take for reality's sake, Rav Moshe Feinstein walks into this room, and he says, and Rav Moshe Feinstein says that this is your left hand. So I mean, that's strange, right? I mean, you wouldn't expect that he would make a statement like that. So you have to understand what Rashi's talking about. I mean, how is the Chayach HaMetzias of something like this happening? If you interpreted it in the most extreme way in which Rashi presents it, if they tell you that your right is your left and your left is your right. The Sifri quoted right afterwards, Yaminu Smo, Rafilu Nirin Be'enecha Al Smo Shehu Yamin V'Argumen Shehu Smo Shema Lohem. The Sifri is already a little bit less extreme in its formulation. Not if they tell you your right is your left. Right? I mean, the Rav isn't walking in here and telling me that this is my left hand. But he's telling me something that to me seems as if he's telling me. And in my humble with a capital H opinion, I'm convinced of the fact that he's making a mistake. So even if it's near in Be'enecha, I still have to listen. There's a machlokas, achronim, how to interpret Rashi. Some say that Rashi means even if he walks in and he says that this is your left hand, then you have to say, gee, you know, hey, I thought that this is my right hand. My mommy told me from the time I was two, I was tying my shoes. I mean, I always thought this was my right hand. But I mean, if he comes in and says to me that it's not, so it's not. So what do I know? I'm a dodo. I don't know anything, right? The Rav knows what a right and what a left is. If he says this is my left hand, then that's the end of it. And I have to listen to it. That's how some people interpret Rashi. We'll see, and we won't get to it, but the way the Ramban interprets Rashi, it's a little bit different. Akoponim, you have at least a very extreme case here, where you have to listen to whom? To Lasosim and Adav Rashi Yagidu Lecha. Who is the Yagidu? Who's doing the Yagiduing here? Who's doing the speaking? The representative, the prophet says, El Akayanim Halviim Velashofet Ashiyah Bayamim Ahein. These are people who are in Bezim HaGadol that are sitting in the Bezim HaGadol in Yerushalayim. And the way Rashi, the Pashat Pshat in Rashi is, or the simple Pshat in Rashi is a very extreme case. The Sifri is a little bit less. And the Yerushalmi in Hari is the opposite. Yerushalmi says, Yachalim Yavru Lecha Yamin Shehi Smol Val Smol Shehi Yamin Tishma Lahem. You might think you have an obligation to listen to them the way Rashi says, even if they tell you that your right hand is your left hand. They say something that's reasonable to you. They say something that's sensible, that can fit into a pattern. Then you listen to them. Otherwise, you do not have an obligation to listen to them. So we see that even with regard to Los Sosur, first of all, Los Sosur is limited in its particular application to the Bezim HaGadol. And Milon HaGadol and the Rambam, and you have the Rambam here at the bottom, Perek Aleph and Hilchos Mamrin, where the Rambam says explicitly that the Bezim HaGadol of Yerushalayim is the Iker, the Sisor of Torah Shebal Peh, Amudei HaHora, as the Torah says, Al Pi HaTorah SheYerucha, and in Halacha Beis, if you don't follow them, you're over like Sosur. So it's clearly a reference to the Bezim HaGadol, A, and B, you can't use Lo Sosur to automatically blanket statements to follow everything that is being said, because after all, there's a Yerushalmi that says nothing from the Sifri. There's a Yerushalmi that says that you don't have to follow to the extent if they tell you that your right hand is your left hand. Most penetrating, and I'm going to wind up in about 5 minutes, most penetrating is the Akdam of the Chayit HaVavim, which says very explicitly on page 6, and I wish we had the time to read it so carefully, that Lo Sosur is limited to Divrei Halacha. And he quotes, he says, look at the beginning of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk, Dam Ladan, Din Ladin, Nega La Nega, it's limited to Divrei Halacha, and it's not, doesn't apply to matters that are not necessarily halachic. It doesn't apply to logical matters, to matters of philosophy and to matters of belief. Now this is very important, because a lot of things that are open to one's logic, then your logic has to determine. One second, let me just finish and then I'll leave. The last things that I Xerox for you, and we really don't have time to go into it, the last thing is there's a famous Ramban of Bava Basra, and I leave it to you to analyze the top of the seventh page, which some people quote as being closest to the contemporary perception of Das Torah and Midas Chachamim. He talks about the whole concept of Ruach HaKodesh that applies not only to Nevi'im, but applies also to Chachamim, and not only Chachamim from the Bezna Gadol, but Chachamim Bizman Hazeh. And below that, there's a really fascinating tshuva of Reb Chaim Sanzer, the Divrei Chaim in Yeridaya, who addresses himself to a Melamed who said that, you know, the Or HaChaim al HaTorah. And Chassidim used to study the Or HaChaim. My father told me that his father, Friday night, would always study the Or HaChaim, but he didn't study the Or HaChaim. He studied the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Why is it called the Or HaChaim HaKadosh? Because it's a Kabbalah that the Or HaChaim had Ruach HaKadosh. There was a Melamed in Sanz who didn't believe that the Or HaChaim had Ruach HaKadosh. So Reb Chaim Sanzer goes through a whole analysis here to show that even today, there is a possibility to have Ruach HaKodesh. So what have we seen? Basically, what I've done is, in texts that you have, address myself to the terminological issue. As far as Daras Torah is concerned, I don't see the term used this way earlier. As far as the Munas Chachamim is concerned, I see it used this way earlier, but really not enough that I would have expected to see it. As far as Los Sasser is concerned, it's not so pashit. Los Sasser isn't so pashit. There's a Yerushalmi that says that it doesn't apply if they tell you something that is black and white wrong. There's a Chavis Halvavis that says it b'chlal doesn't apply to matters of hashkafa. To matters of hashkafa, it only applies strictly to matters of halacha. So what to do about it? What to do about it? I don't know what to do about it. And the reason why I don't know what to do about it is because it is being stated by Gedolei Yisrael. I mean, the Chafetz Chaim is, I mean, you know, Milano Gadol and the Chafetz Chaim, or Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. These are great Gedolei Yisrael. And I can't simply machavek with the hand and say, as has been argued in the latest issue of Tarbitz, it's a scholarly journal that's published by Hebrew University, where the author of the article, Gershon Bacon, you have it on your reading list, says no less than Das Torah is a political ploy by the interwar Gouda movement in order to get Jews to follow their opinion. That it really doesn't exist in Jewish tradition until that time. It was only invented by the political leaders of Agudas Yisrael so that the masses should follow them. Why? Because the Gedolim say, and that alone is enough. I am obviously uncomfortable with that, and I'm obviously not prepared to say that, because he's a Gedolei Yisrael, and you don't just machavek Gedolei Yisrael. On the other hand, I have problems with it. I have problems with it philosophically, and maybe if we just take one last minute, one of the problems, and I have a list here of about 5-6 problems with it, one problem has to do with the Kabbalah infallibility question. And maybe with this I will leave you for you to think, maybe you want to pick it up in discussion. Seems to me that even in matters of halacha, there's no such thing as infallibility. What are we saying? We're saying that if the Gedolim say don't march with Soviet Jewry, then the parsha is closed. That's it. There's no questions asked. There are no alternate opinions. This is the way it is, and they are right. You don't think so. All the political analysts in the State Department know that putting pressure on the Soviet Union will be advantageous, and this is a way to put pressure, and that Russians are sensitive to public opinion. What do they know? They think they know, but the Gedolim know better. You think they know, but you're a worm. You're nothing. They know. They have Das Torah, which means that they're infallible. They say it. They call the shots, and that's the end. And I have nothing to say. Who am I? I'm a nobody. I mean, that much I'll accept compared to these Gedolim. But I have no right to ask them. They have no issue of explaining it to me. It's the old infallible thing. Now, it seems to me that even in halacha, there's no such thing as infallibility. And this is really an issue that is a whole other shmuis and a whole other discussion, but there's a whole, I mean, you can trace through the Rishonim, there's a pluralistic view in halacha. And I can give you makaris, if you want them, I don't know. I can read to you, I brought along here, the Hakdama of the Igris Moshe. I mean, Rav Moshe Milano Gadol and Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Moshe himself says in the Hakdama of Chelek Aleph, Torah Chet, the first sefer, the first Igros Moshe that he ever published, we tend not to learn Hakdamas. You know, we write to the Tshuva. But he wrote the Hakdama, right? The same person who wrote the Tshuva wrote the Hakdama. I'll give you another source, the Ketzais. Which yeshiva guy hasn't heard of it hours over a Ketzais? So you go Ketzais, Simon, Shin, Sada, Gimel, and you really Sivkat and Merches, and you really heard of it. The Ketzais wrote a Hakdama. The next time you're in the Besmedrish, I urge you to read the Hakdama of the Ketzais. There is pluralism in Halacha, says the Ketzais. The Ketzais. Rav Moshe says it in his Hakdama. He says, I'm not necessarily, what I say is not necessarily true. Is there such a thing as objective truth in Halacha, Rav Moshe is saying? It's not necessarily so. Even he says, if it's the etzem galya klape shmaya she'eno ken haperush. Af sheho emes eino kiperusho. And the old Gemara about Loba Shemayim, he about Tanur Shalachnoi, it may not be objective truth. So who says that what he says is right and what he says is wrong? The Hakdama of the Yamshel Shlomo to Bava Kama. It's a long Hakdama talking about the fact that there isn't one true, objective, absolute truth in Halacha. Drushos HaRan, the Ran wrote Drushos in the number Zion. So there are a lot of, I mean, I have problems, Bichlal, and I'll tell you, I haven't come down on one side or another. I mean, this is, with me, it's an ongoing struggle, and as I said at the beginning, maybe I'll come back to it, it's really a personal struggle, and it's not so pasha to me. I take it very seriously, I work at it, I try to integrate it into my life, I try to understand it, and I don't always understand it. Maybe I'll stop.
Right. Thank you. There are some questions.
The last thing from Rav Moshe himself, even though it's plural, means to other Gedolim. I mean, Rav Moshe is saying that I can have the same thing as he has. So let's say the Rav or someone else.
Okay, so that's my other problem. My other problem with Das Torah is who's Das Torah? If you ask the Rav, Zogazon Zayin, we'll get one answer. In terms of Hashkafadiki issues, yes, Rav Moshe, you may get another answer. If you ask Rav Cook, you get one answer. Yes, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, you get another answer. He's a good Ali Yisrael. So who calls the shots?
Okay, but I'm just saying that the point is pluralism, we shouldn't think means us.
No, I'm not saying it means us. But I'm saying pluralism is as opposed to the objective absolute truth. And there is no, says Rav Moshe, the objective absolute truth. That's
one another God, let's say.
Yeah, good. But conceptually, I think the point is correct. There's no objective absolute truth. So I'm saying, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm in a quandary. I mean, the Rav obviously is in favor of secular studies. Other Gedolim are obviously not in favor of secular studies. Or other such issues, you know, issues, quote-unquote, modern issues. So there is no absolute truth. And if it doesn't exist in Halacha, where, after all, one would expect it to more so to exist, then how can you expect it to exist in Hashkafa, where what they say is Emes La Mita? And I have trouble with it. That's what I'm saying. I'm not denying it, and I'm just expressing to you my problem. That's, yeah.
Isn't there a din about if you're going to accept one bunch of sukkim from one law, you should be consistent, and you should accept his kumas as well as his kumas?
Yeah. Because then you can adopt this gadol as your advisor.
But you wouldn't have a right to say, I'll accept this law's kulis and the other law's kulis.
No, you shouldn't shop around for kulis. My balabata will love that.
But
they say, Rabbi, you shop for me.
You can't say I'll accept his kulis.
No, what's the point? No. Once you adopt somebody, then this person is your moradarach.
So isn't that what a person should do? He should say, I'm going to follow one group of rabbanim or one law and be consistent.
That's one way. Yeah, that's one way. Yeah.
When basically pointing in the direction of other than Emunas Chachamim and Das Torah, a subject of study that we've done already is commentaries on Asel Chara.
Mm-hmm.
Those might indicate a certain.
That's true. I haven't done it. You give me too much credit. I haven't done it. But that's true. I think it would be very fruitful to analyze Asel Chara in the sense of what role a Rebbe has to have in your life. I mean, if you have an operation, do you have to run to the Lubavitcher Rebbe and ask them whether to have the operation or not? Where's that coming from? Is that Shana Seylach HaRav or Seylach HaRebbe?
This just is a suggestion that I have no historical basis for, but one might want to investigate it. As Hasidus came about, the Tzaddik was approached with all kinds of shadows about the island, and there was there might have been a reaction in the yeshiva as Hasidism approached the rabbinic world, and the rabbinic world also took some things from the Hasidic world, and sort of if they go to their Rebbe, so we have to go to our.
You see, what you're doing is what you're doing is heresy from a yeshivish point of view, because you're historicizing. I'm not necessarily. I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong. I hope you understand that. I'm saying that it's a possibility, but this is not what they have in mind. Emes, maybe Emes. Maybe Emes. I don't know. I don't know.
The major problem in the Wi-Fi is besides historically, can you go back even further than the time of the Mary, go back to some of the Indians. The Indians themselves and the should we go with Babel, should we go with Mitzrayim? And I think that it's clearly the case when you have real rule of Hakoda. And we see there were many more folks, and you can't, I think, you know, to extend the concept further, certainly that's hard, certainly reasonable to follow anybody. Including Trump, we've already had many situations politically where the Amoraim were not necessarily the Tanaim. In the case of Rabbi Akiva himself, and many times he was Cholik and many Tanaim. And so it's very hard to say that Das Torah means unequivocal exception of any one person's stock in certainly political matters, especially, you know, it's making it even more staunch than Xeris custom. And that's the point where it seems to be that some people are trying to make it.
Well, just to take the other side now for a moment, you can't identify an issue. I have a question on what Rav Moshe says to parallel that to Rav Akiva and his machlokes. I mean, the point that he said before. I mean, we're talking now Gedolei Yisrael have a right to disagree. Who am I? I'm a nobody. I have to, like Rav Dessa said at the beginning, I have to hitch on to a Gedolei Yisrael, so that. You know, whereas there's a phrase here nobody's used yet, and I deliberately haven't used it. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, bandied around, misused, misunderstood phrase. To some extent, that's right. But you know, when I had an interview for Yeshiva University for college, and I was accepted, but I never came for some reason. The interviewer asked me, "What's your about conservative and reform Jews?" And you know, I said, I'm not a conservative reform Jew, and they said, you know, what about the point of view? Elu ve'elu, ve'elu ve'elu kinchayim, says he to me. Maybe that's why I didn't go to YU, I don't know. but you know, that phrase, everybody, you know, so at some extent there is such a phrase. It has to be understood. But elu ve'elu, me and a gadol, I mean, there's no chance. I mean,
right,
forget
I
about it.
I understand that. The point is, you see certainly that
okay, so they're coming back to it. They themselves have it.
Over many, many important political issues, mm-hmm. And we see it clearly that it goes beyond the area of Ruach HaKodesh and the area of simply saying whatever they say is simply there is cousins without any understanding or analysis, then I think
I hear what you're saying. I mean, I have no, I'm not giving you I'm not giving Das Torah here, you understand? Yes.
I have a question. I just want to point out that as far as there's a Rashi in this case, I don't know the exact content of it. It goes further than saying that the Mashiach goes as far as to say that there are folks in the region. Amora is wrong.
He says, I'd like that, if you can remember it, look it up.
I don't recall it.
Exactly. Help out my hand when you find it and let me know. He says, Mamish wrong. He says, an Amora is wrong.
I don't know
wrong.
If he says it in so many words.
I
don't remember, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but he said there's two times, he does say there's two times in the Bible, and he says that
okay,
yeah,
I'm...
Totally
okay,
totally
in any
space.
Yeah, okay, but I'd like to ask a question.
Yeah, sure.
To what extent, and you say that there's this heresy of historicism, but to what extent can you...
I didn't say that.
Well,
I said that they say that.
For instance, there's a historical viewpoint about the evolution of the, I think, quotes from worlds, sort of isolationist position about a lot of things, that it all sort of emanates from some sort of reaction to reform and to Stola and so on and so forth, and that it may be, from a historical perspective, obsolete, and things like that are considered.
What do you want me to do? Want to respond to that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a historian.
Okay.
I'm a historian.
That's why I asked.
Okay. I never intended to be a rabbi, I intended to be a historian. So my emphasis is very much on history. And I think, obviously, I don't think that seeing things from a historical perspective is heresy. On the contrary, I think that's probably the honest way to see things. And there may be a lot of truth to what you're saying. Or you like that for a cop-out? Yeah.
This isn't my position, but...
Is that right?
It,
As far as explaining the reticence of the Rishonim and explaining Munas Chacham, he felt there was something lacking as far as our interpretation of that. Is it at all possible that the reason they ignored it, so to speak, or did not stress it that much, is because they had assumed it? Because the whole, as a historian, you know that the Parnas and the Rav had so much of the same in the community that there wasn't that much of an issue. They ran a community.
See, I'm glad you raised that, because that's not true. It's not true. If you study from a historical point of view, the rabbinic authority, not conceptually, but practically, in the 12th century, in the 13th century, in the 14th century, the 15th century, Rabbanim didn't have such a kind. Rabbanim did not, on the contrary, I think that rabbis today, in a sense, are more autonomous than rabbis in the Middle Ages. Because the there's so much of a struggle against granting the rabbi any authority, because the kohel, which was so much stronger then, felt that this would be an encroachment on its own turf. So you have, and I can give you sources. I mean, there's a book by Eric Zimmer. It's called Harmony and Discord. The doctoral dissertation right here at Yeshiva. 1970, Harmony and Discord. 15th century Ashkenazic Rabbanus, which is where the rabbinate, quote-unquote, really began as a separate profession. And there, they're fighting, the Rabbanim are fighting like crazy for a piece of bread. Not in the material sense, but for shtickel authority, harala authority they want to have. And the Parnas says, feh, I want to have it. The Kohel wants to have it. So the stronger the kohel is, the less authority the Rav has. And I've done that study. In connection with this, I went to look back again. There's a book by Newman, A.A. Newman, on the history of the Jews in Spain. There's a chapter on the rabbinate. This is earlier now. We're talking 13th century. The rabbinate didn't have such kayach. I just finished the Tshuva of the Rush, the famous Tshuva of the Rush about the St. Halamata. Right? You know the Tshuva of the Rush. He wants to change his mind. So how did the whole Tshuva start? Because the night before the Seder, the night of Pesach, everybody's plotting for rain, and we stop saying Masha Veruach in the Saint Talamata Pesach time, and they're plotting for rain. So he says, let's keep on saying Masha Veruach till Shavuos. So all hell breaks loose. Mamish, the rush is no baby. This is heavy stuff. The rush, right? He's sitting in Toledo in 1313 is the Rava year. Forget it. It's interesting. The Tshuva said that some people were asked. Those who weren't asked. We're all upset about it, right? He didn't call a board of trustees meeting and invite everybody to come. But here you see the kayach of the kohol, that the Rav couldn't call the shots. And that's another argument I could have, I mean, if I were really being historical. This whole concept, not only terminologically, but historically you don't find, and it's not a Rav anymore. Today it's not Rabbanim who have this, it's the Rashi Yeshiva who have it. It's Bechlala phenomenon. But whatever you want to call them, it didn't exist, to the best of my knowledge, as of this phenomenon to this extent. Up until 50, 60 years.
The only question is, did it exist in their own minds? And I guess not.
I would assume it would be somewhere. I would assume somebody would write it. It would be forthcoming. I mean, I obviously don't know everything that was written, but so where is it? Lamaisa it wasn't, and conceptually it wasn't, so it wasn't. Yeah.
In light of sources that you've mentioned, or perhaps some that you haven't mentioned, how would you answer one of your Balabatim asking you, did the rabbi, we have those authorities who saw that what was going on was a terrible thing, and they said, you know, good for Eretz Yisrael. And you have this sort of new sector that came out for not only the text, but the notes on it. Everybody in Snake.
I know that sector, yeah.
And then you have others.
It's a great sector, by the way. Everybody should read that thing. A very good sector. Yeah.
Then you have others who say, you know, stay in Europe, as you were pointing
yeah.
out.
So what would I say to a Baal HaBas who came to me with the question that came to
yeah,
our desk?
Like this. And Munas Chacham, how much does it have to do that they're a product of their environment, they're a product of their rebbeim, they're a product of political philosophies, where certainly they did, but also you could answer, Elu Be'elu.
I would say it seems to me that there was an error, but I really feel uncomfortable saying that. I mean, I would just dish out my ambivalence and share it with the Baal HaBas, just as I'm sharing it. I
can answer it in the focus.
What?
And how would you answer it in the context of not focus on the issue?
What do you mean, not focus on the issue? One guy and another guy? I also don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I think I try to be honest in sharing you the sources that I gave you. That's what I mean. Next, yeah.
I'm just going to give you a barrage of ideas. What do you say about the notion of Rav Gedolim as used today? Of Hashkofa being a major determinant in determining halacha. And
Rav Gedolim, what do you mean by Rav Gedolim?
Because Rav Gedolim holds that
you can't go to college.
The Medina's trait, or you can't go to college or whatever.
What do you, whom, why are you asking me? I mean, what do you care about my position? You should be worried about what your position is. I'm giving you the sources. My position
we're inferior. We're not the Torah B'dah, so we're not at the Mir. We should answer these guys. They've got Das Torah.
You won't answer them because you'll never win with them. You'll never convince them, so it's a Brachel of Atala. I'm not worried about the guy in Torah. I'm not worried about my Chavrusa, who I learned with 10 years ago. I'm worried about myself. And I think you should be worried about yourself. You have to come. And I'm not going to feed it to you. Nobody will. These are farm homed in Beruma Shalom. I mean, this is stuff you're going to struggle with, forever. You have to work out a mahalach. It's not so pashut. That's why I'm telling you that it's not pashut. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That whole long pismin for an hour and a quarter is it's not pashut. That's the bottom line. Yes. Those people who make the Gedolim infallible are not aware of trends, the latest trends in scientific research. One last question, and then go to the Nightsayer.
Someone who hasn't asked.
So who hasn't asked? You haven't asked. No.
We haven't considered the question of what is or who is Gadol or Chacham, and whether, even, no matter how you're going to define Emunas HaChamim, do we have
them? Good question. I think in response to that, I would say someone who sort of the Olam perceives us as being a god. I can't, you don't take a, it's not like voting for the All-Star game, how many, first three guys for first base and you vote who gets the most. It's a sense. The Olam, and we have a sense. We could sit in this room and decide who the Velt today perceives of as Gedolei Yisrael. And then we would have to decide who, what do we do now?
So you're saying there's no objective standard.
How could there be? There's no checklist. The objective standard is involvement in Torah, in Yerushalayim, in Lima Torah, in Hashkafas HaTorah. That's the objective. That's what you got to be a Gadol B'Yisrael. Okay, have a good
night. I want to thank Rabbi Shachter and all of you. And I hope we'll continue to have this kind of successful program. Thank you. Go ahead. All right. Get you home.